For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. You may be seated. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up this service to you, Lord, and that we know that you are here. We have gathered here in your name, and so we know through your promises that you are here with us. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, and help us to be open to the word that you have for us. And we thank you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. About 25 years ago, seems like a long time, that our family, my son, Judy and the kids, and we went on a road trip with my parents. And it was a long road trip. For 2 weeks, we made a big loop. We went all the way to the South Dakota, saw the Badlands in South Dakota, out to Yellowstone, saw Old Faithful. Then we went down and stood where the four states meet and stood there so that we could say that we did that. Then we went down and saw the Alamo. And then we made a big loop back. Well, that was a lot of miles that we put on in 2 weeks. And so it was, we didn't spend a lot of time in any one place. And it was pretty much, yep, been there, we done that. That was nice. But we didn't really get the time to enjoy the different places. But we got to see a lot of things. And of course, you know, one of the things that we'd like to do are, you know, a souvenir shop. And so in one of the places that we went to, we have this, you know, things and messages on clay pots. We stopped. Well, my dad had bought a clay pot, and and it was really nice. And when he died, that got passed on to me. And so I keep it in a cupboard because I know how I am. I'm gonna stick stuff in it, or I'm gonna bump it, and it's gonna fall. So we keep it in a glass cabinet so that we can see it and I can't destroy it. And so we have that. And to kind of remind Dad and the trip that we went on and stuff. But as I was thinking about the scripture and thinking about this jar of clay, I was thinking about in verse 7 where Paul compares us to jars of clay. In thinking about that clay pot, you know, what is it, how is it that we can compare a clay pot to us? I mean, I really don't see really a whole lot of comparison. But if you think about it, there's three things that we can think about it. Craftsmanship, the fact that it's fragile, and purpose. And all clay pots are supposed to have a purpose. And you wonder, I still don't get it. All right, well, we'll get there. Craftsmanship. In Isaiah 64:8, Nick read this. "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." And in thinking about this, in Genesis 1, God creates everything. He creates everything, well, except for people for at this point, but he creates everything. And when he creates everything, he says, God said this, and this happened. God created everything just by saying, spoke it into being. But with people, in Genesis 2, sets 2:7, it says, "Then Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being." You and I may not have taken the same shape as Adam and Eve or been shaped the same way that Adam and Eve were, but we are still given life by God. He is still the one that shapes our life. If you shop for clay pots, you may not. You know, most of the time we just shop for clay pots as for plants. But if you shop for clay pots, you'll notice that they're not all the same. They all have different purposes. They're different sizes, different purposes, different shapes. And now, when I think about this, I can just imagine that God is here with each one of us, shaping us, holding us in his hands, shaping us into the people that he wants us to be, molding us into his clay pot, paying careful attention to our detail, to our character, to our maturity, to our disposition. He's constantly molding us. And this isn't a once and done, you're done person. This is a lifelong process that God is taking you and shaping you. Unlike a clay pot where they shape you and then put you in a fire and you're stuck in that shape for the rest of its existence, we're not like that. God is constantly shaping us and changing us to the people that he wants us to be. The next one was fragile. As I told you, I keep my clay pot in a cabinet because I'm a klutz and I will break it one way or another. It's kind of like a flat countertop. If you have a flat countertop, stuff gets stuffed on the countertop and things accumulate. Well, that would be similar to where I would stuff stuff in the clay pot and it would get chipped and broken. And so trying to prevent that. Now, wouldn't it be nice if we could just kind of be tucked away into a place where we didn't have to worry about things coming our way and hardships and all that kind of stuff? So, but we can't. In today's scripture, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. In this letter that we read today, he's trying to vindicate his and the apostles' ministry from accusations from false teachers who are charging them as being deceitful workers and endeavored to prejudice their minds of the people against them on account of their sufferings. But Paul responded to them saying, I've been through a lot. Paul writes that in verse 8 that he's been hard-pressed. He's been perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. He's been all those things during the time of his ministry. Paul spent over 30 years in ministry. During that time, there were 3 arrests that were recorded, and he spent five and a half years total in prison. He also goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 31, and reading this from the Amplified Bible, the different things that he's telling that he had gone through, that, and this is from the Amplified Bible, are they self-proclaimed servants of Christ? I am speaking as if I were out of my mind. I am more so, for I exceed them. With far more labors, with far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, at night and day I've spent adrift on the sea, many times on journeys exposed to danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own countrymen, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger in the sea, danger among those posing as believers, in labor and hardship, often unable to sleep, in hunger and thirst, often driven to fasting for lack of food, in cold and exposure without adequate clothing. Besides those external things, there is the daily, inescapable pressure of my concern for all my churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel his weakness? Who is made to sin? I am not on fire with sorrowful concern. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that reveal my weakness, the things by which I am made weak in the eyes of my opponents. The God and Father of my Lord Jesus, he who is blessed and to be praised forevermore, knows that I am not lying. So as you can see, through the time of his ministry, he had been through quite a bit. And he was telling about being hard-pressed, perplexed. I would imagine that he was through all that. But yet his concern was still for the church. His concern was still for preaching God's word and saving people. And even after all that, if we continue to what he had to say in verse 8, he is hard-pressed, but not crushed. He's perplexed, but not in despair. He's persecuted, but not abandoned. He knows that God is with him. He's struck down, but not destroyed. But Paul tells us that he could not have faced all that on his own. He didn't face that on his own strength. He faced all that on God's strength. He tells us in verse 7 that the power to get through those situations come from God, not from his own strength. I mean, you and I have our own circumstances. We may not have had the same circumstances. We probably don't at this time have the same circumstances that Paul does. But we still have our own things that we face, our own pressures. Might be COVID, might be cancer, might have lost a loved one, might be difficult circumstances at work. The list could go on and on and on of the things that are the pressures in your life, the different things that batter you and try and bring you down. But how do we cope with these difficulties? Do we get angry, lash out at those around us? Do we just ignore it and hope that it will work itself out? I know I'm guilty of that many times. Do you give in so that maybe the conflict will stop for now? Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It's a relief to know that we don't have to, or it should be a relief to know that we don't have to face all this on our own. We don't need to carry the burdens on our own. God is there to help shoulder the burdens and help us along the way. We don't, whether it be anger, grief, pain, guilt, we don't need to shoulder those on our own. He wants to carry that with us. There's probably a reason he referred to clay vessels. We could have been made out of iron, steel, bronze, or something strong, but he chose clay. Clay is strong. You know, if you've carried it around or you bumped it, it is kind of strong to a point. But then if it bump it too much or too hard, it will chip and crack. When we become cracked, chipped, or broken, that's when we are apt to allow God in and draw his strength and not ours. It is during these times of brokenness that we tend to allow him to mold us and shape us. Maybe you can think back in your own lives when you have had a low point in your life and there's been stuff going on. Maybe you can look back and reflect that, yes, I remember how God brought me through this. I can see now how God helped me through this and made me stronger because of it. The next one is purpose. Clay pots are made for a purpose. They generally are designed and created to hold something, not to be an object in itself. An empty pot is not really doing what it's made to do. They're made to store, or carry things. In biblical times, pots were used to hold water and food. Sometimes these pots were used for greater worth, such as money, jewels, and even parchments. Today, they're mostly used as flower pots, but some places, clay pots are still being used to cook food, some water, store water, and for various other food preparations. I thought it was interesting that when I was looking that up, that there are places that do cook in clay pots because they say it's healthier for you. I'm not saying that it does. I'm just throwing that out there that I saw that was what some people do. Today we just use them mostly for flower pots. There are three pots on this table. This one looks nice, has nice flowers on it, and you know, it looks nice and pleasant to look at. But if we were looking at this one, they're fake. The flowers are fake. They look nice, they're fake. And if you touch inside, there's a dried up thing, you know, that you stick the flowers in. So it's really kind of dry and empty inside, except for that. Here's a rose bush. Nicole's not in here. Good. Here's a rose bush that Nicole got me a few Father's Days ago, and it survived even in my, survived in spite of me, anyway. And anyway, if you can't quite see it too well, I got up on screen, you know, the leaf, I put it out thinking that I would help it by putting it outside, but now it's kind of got sun scorched. It is trying to bloom. It's got one little bloom there, but as you can see, the stem is, it's just missing something. Probably a person that knows how to actually take care of it properly, but it's a, it needs some help. It has issues, and so it's not getting the right nutrients, or it's not getting the proper care for it to grow and bloom the way it's supposed to, the way that it was meant to. And I mean, that doesn't have anything to do with the clay pot, but it's missing something. It's not reaching its full potential because it's not being cared for the way that it should. And, you know, how many people can relate to that? You know, we see people that are, you know, look like they have it all together, but they're really fake. And they don't really have it together as much as they show. How many people are hurting and are starving, are in need of something, when the nutrients that they really need are Jesus Christ in their lives to help give them that power, that oomph to get through the day, to really bloom the way that God intended for this plant to bloom. And the third one is a simple pot. But, you know, it's just got the light of the radiant light of the room. And it's kind of dark. But when we accept Jesus Christ, that darkness that's in our life, I don't know if you can see it too well, but when we accept Jesus Christ and His Word is written on our heart, it presents a light inside out. We are affected inside out, and people can see that there's a difference in us, or they should be seeing a difference in us, where we are showing Christ's light to others, and they would be attracted to that light. In verse 6, it says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." When we let God come live in our heart, there's a light, there's a difference in our life. And people can see that light. It doesn't matter our condition. God just needs us to empty ourselves and allow Him in so that others will see Jesus through us. There's a fable, a beautiful fable, like to read to you. "Once upon a time, there was an elderly woman who owned two large clay pots. She hung each pot on the ends of a pole, which she carried across her neck. Each day, she would walk from her house to a nearby stream to fetch water. She filled up both pots, pick up the pole, and walk back to her house. One of the pots had a crack in it, while the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full pot of water. At the end of the walk back to her house, the crack pot always arrived only half full. Because of the crack, half the water had leaked out during the trek. For 2 full years, this happened daily. The woman arrived home with only 1.5 pots of water. Of course, the perfect pot was proud that it had never lost a drop of precious water. But the poor crack pot was ashamed of its imperfection and was miserable. The crackpot thought of itself as a complete failure. One day, the crackpot was so tired of failing that it spoke to the woman. The crackpot said, 'I am ashamed of myself because this crack in my side causes water to leak out all the way back to your house. I have failed you, and I'm sorry. Maybe you need to replace me with another pot that isn't cracked.' The old woman smiled and said gently, 'Did you notice that there are flowers on your side of the path, but not on the other pot's side? I have always known about your flaw, So I planted flower seeds on your side. And every day as I've walked back, you've been watering those seeds. For the past 2 years, I've been able to pick the flowers to decorate my table. Without you being just the way you are, there would have been no beautiful flowers to grace my table, grace my home. And isn't it that way with us? That we may be cracked, we aren't perfect, but God still needs to use us or wants to use us the way that we are so that he can reach others for him. There's a tremendous value in being broken. We throw away things that they're when they're broken, but God cherishes broken people. God uses broken things. Jesus took the 5 loaves of the little lad and broke them before he multiplied them. When Mary brought the alabaster box of perfume, it was only when it was broken that the fragrance filled the house. And when you are broken, the fragrance and the light of Christ can be detected in your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you to being broken. It's not an easy, it's not comfortable, and it's not a pleasant thing, but it's necessary. We thank you for you being there to pick up the pieces. We thank you there for being there to carry us when we are broken and when we're just we just don't know which way to turn. And we pray, Lord, that you would just be with us as we go from here. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us not to be empty, not to be filled with darkness, but to be filled with your light. Help us to be open to your word and help us to write your word on our hearts so that we will always remember your promises, so that we will always remember that you are there, so that we always remember that no matter what comes our way, you are there every step of the way. And we pray, Lord, that you'd be with us. And it's a light that is not supposed to be kept just to ourselves. It's a light that we are supposed to shine out on others. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be that light in our community. Help us to light other people's paths with your word. And we just thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do in our lives. And we just thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.